Coach Association Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Dave.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Big honor.
What's it mean to you to get that honor last night?
It's a huge honor. You know, definitely, you know, I guess the figurehead, but definitely a lot of people involved in that. You know, my coaching family, my own family, you know, the community of Bridgeton High School. You know, it's great for the whole town.
And your involvement with this, with the Taliaferro Foundation, you've been involved with this as well. What does this game and this night mean to you personally in seeing the success of this thing as it continues to go on and keep getting bigger and better?
It's great for the kids. You know, sometimes, you know, this is the last game that some of these kids are ever going to play. And the other kids, it's their first introduction into a collegiate level type game, which is different for them too. You know, every kid out here is an all-star, and they get to kind of see what that's going to be like on the next level. You know, it's a good introduction.
And Coach, coming out of Bridgeton, you know, the team there has had its ups and downs over the years. Now you won the Group 2 championship in 99.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I guess for you, is that the highest point you've seen, or what's been the biggest thing for you that's happened in your coaching career?
You know, definitely, like you said, had a lot of highs and lows. You know, just each season kind of, you know, is on its own. You know, I've had seasons we went, you know, 3-7 and have had a great time. Some of my best, you know, memories come from those. The kids really improved, you know, throughout the year. And I've, you know, we've been 8-3 and couldn't wait for the season to get over. Just, yeah, it depended on the kids we had. We always look for passionate kids. My coaching staff, we all are very passionate people, and we look for that in our players. And usually, our success comes from a team that is, you know, really demonstrates.
You got a couple guys out here tonight, Coach.
Sure.
Stephon Bowman, Capodanno Miller. Talk a little bit about those two guys and what made them special and why they're here tonight.
I think they're no two better representatives of Bridgeton football than those two kids. They're both 5'0", 100-0, right? But don't tell them that. They think they're 200 pounds.
They were arguing about that before the game, by the way. Down on the field, I was talking to them.
they exemplify what kind of product that we try to put out at Bridgeton. Tough, hard-nosed kids, very confident. They've been 4-year starters, 3-year captains for me. I am really going to miss them. I mean, down in Bridgeton, we usually end up with about 30 to 35 players at the end of the season. My kids play, you know, both ways, special teams. So if I lose a kid, I'm losing actually 3 kids. You know. But those two have done so much for our program and have represented Bridgeton in a great way.
Just about ready for kickoff here in the second half. We'll keep the coach with us here for a couple of more minutes.
On the return is coming to the near side. It's number 4, Periola from Shawnee. Gets across the 30-yard line down to the 32. Blue squad trailing this one 42-0. And they're going to take over 1st and 10 from their own 32-yard line, looking to put some points on the board.
And Coach, from what you've seen in your years of being around this game, mm-hmm. what's it mean to the kids out there to get a chance to play on this day, on this field, in this game?
I'll tell you what I noticed at last night's banquet when they were introducing both teams is the kind of the camaraderie that develops within a short period, a 3-day period. And, you know, you just see the kids kind of joking with each other, and they probably have only known each other for a couple days. And it's something that they are going to remember for the rest of their lives. I know I was talking with my assistant coach, Joe Teklitz, and I could kind of list the kids that played for us 5 years ago.
Durso hands off. Cutting across the 50-yard line into white team territory. Nice run there on first down. Gain of about 20 on the play. Trying to see numbers.
Whoever it is got a little banged up.
Yeah, little
is that
banged.
Lamont Harris? Yeah, 22, Lamont Harris.
Yeah. He's holding his
right shoulder.
Left.
Oh, left shoulder.
Yeah, left
me.
Shoulder. And he's going to walk over to the trainer's table.
Hey, Coach, I know that's one thing you don't want to
yeah,
see
exactly.
in this ball game.
Same
any of these guys, right?
Oh, that's saying the same thing. Yeah, you do not want that. And I think that definitely affects a lot of the All-Star games now, or, you know, kids that are going on to the next level. A lot of the the coaches at that level don't want to see them playing in some of these All-Star games for that reason.
I guess that's the challenge, I guess. You know, you've got this great event, but at the same time, how do you balance the...
Bowman on the carry there, Coach.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he was tackled for a little bit of a loss there, but at least your boy gets a call here while you're up here.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often.
That's what I was going to say. You didn't see a lot of those during the season with him.
Nah, tough kid.
And Coach, tell us about the year you guys had at Bridgeton this past year, because it was, I think, a year that you guys wound up, I think, a little bit higher than people expected.
Not for us. I mean, we expected... We expect to be playing here. Mm-hmm. We really did. The previous year we ended up in the semifinal game against Woodstown and lost in the last 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then with Delcy, I think we had a chance to win that game also, and really thought that we were going to be playing here at Rowan. Things didn't work out, not for lack of effort and not for lack of passion. That was a great effort and a successful season, I thought.
3rd-and-11 coming up. Coach, one last thing before we let you go. The Cape Atlantic League now, talking about the joining the West Jersey Football League. That's not going to happen until 2016. But what's that mean now, and how does that shuffle the deck for the teams out of the Cape Atlantic League?
From what I've heard, now, nothing's in concrete, but I think they're going to try and keep some. There goes Cap.
Hand off to Miller. Gain of a couple off the right side. But at least your guys got the call while you're up here.
That's great. Yeah, love it. Love it.
Be fourth down coming up shortly with 8:37 left to go and counting here in the third quarter.
I think they're going to try and keep a lot of our I would think Peaville and Imbuna and middle and lower, I would think. But we will play some other schools, Group 2 or Group 3 schools, I would think. I think it's great. Bridgeton has always been a place, it seems like it's close by, but it's always a half hour, 45 minutes to get there. It's going to be exciting. It'd be exciting to play new teams.
DiBiase on to punt from Buna. Standing at his own 40, gets the punt away. Beautiful punt backing the white team up, and it's off the hands, Jameer Washington. And he falls on top of it inside the 10-yard line.
It's been the kind of night for the white squad tonight. They fumble and it bounces right back up in their lap. Ryan Daniels from Brunton City was there to cover it defensively, but again, bounced right back up to the receiver, and he covers it for the white football. So Coach Dave Ellen stops by from Bridgeton. Coach, thank you for dropping by. We appreciate your time. Congratulations on the South Jersey Football Coaches Hall of Fame induction. Must have been a great night for you, and it's great to see your players out here tonight.
Great, thanks. It was. Thanks again.
Thank you, Coach. All right. Thanks for stopping by.
So it's white team ball here, 7:12 remaining here in the third quarter. Handoff again goes right up the middle. And we're under the 7-minute mark here. 42-0 White Squad. We didn't get to a timeout here in the during halftime. We had so many guests. I'd like to thank Coach Rob.
Yeah, Rob Cormier from Bishop Eustis.
Thanks for Eustis.
Thank him for stopping by, for adding some color commentary to our first half. And now for the second half, we've got another
revolving
guy
door of guests here in the booth.
But this is Haddonfield High School football coach Frank Delano, and he's going to be with us for the second half. Coach, thank you for stopping by. Great to see you.
My pleasure. How we doing,
Coach?
All right?
Let's fix your headset first, because you're not going to be able to hear it with it. There
I
you go.
You.
How's that? A little better?
I got you.
Hear me now?
We're good. July 1st, we're watching football. It's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. We're glad you could join us. Add some, give the coaches perspective from what you see up here throughout the second half. And, sorry for the delay. We had some other other folks to stop by.
You got some Hall of Famers to attend to. That's much more important than me. I get it. I quite understand. Sam's a great guy and well-deserving of that Distinguished Service Award. Sam Barchetti has done so much for South Jersey football. And talk about class guys and Dave Ellen. He has done so much with the Bridgeton program. And it's nice to see him get rewarded, him and his entire staff. I know he's got some loyal assistants. And it's nice. It's great for him. Great for him and great for Bridgeton.
Second down play. Pass complete out into the flat for a gain of about 9 yards. It'll be third down and 2 with under 6 minutes left to go here. Coach, welcome to the broadcast. I know we get to see you guys once a year here at Sterling and Haddonfield. once or twice a year. You guys coming off another successful season. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we had some really selfless kids. It's a nice run.
I mean, tough to graduate a lot of those kids. But, like, you have two representatives here tonight, Jay Klaus in there as well.
Yeah, Jay Klaus, he's a kid who's going to be attending Penn and playing sprint football for the Quakers. So he's a good one. He's a real good one. He's a kid who, in my opinion, is a first ballot Haddonfield Hall of Famer. He's a three-year district champion in wrestling, three-year varsity starter. You know, two championships under his belt and an all-conference golfer for 4 years.
Golfer, that's right. So, I said tennis earlier, like a dude.
We all make mistakes. That's all right.
Yeah, golf, of course.
Who's the one that plays tennis?
Mike Alberto. He's actually down here right now watching the game. He's going to Catholic U. You know, he's a little 5'9 tennis player, great feet. But, you know, again, there's just a bunch of guys.
Not often you see football players also on the tennis court in the spring as well.
We have some unique kids, very special kids.
Nice pass on the swing play to Parham. Yeah. Cutting across the middle of the field. Parham accelerating as he crosses the 45. Tackled nicely by number 4, Jake Pariola from Shawnee. Otherwise, Parham was going to the house, but it's a gain of 30 on the play, and they're out to midfield.
Parham's had some big plays tonight.
He has 3 catches for 123 yards. I can tell you. You know, you guys told me I was coming up here in the second half. I started taking some notes down there. He's got 3 catches now for a buck 23, so he's a big play guy from Glassboro. Now they're doing a nice job distributing the ball. They really are. You know, quarterbacks look good.
First and 10 from midfield, under 5 minutes left to go here in a 42-0 contest. Handoff going to your boy, Jake Klaus.
Handoff the right side. Zone. Full outside zone play. Very patient there.
Pick up a 4 for Jake Klaus.
Frank, you talked about the uniqueness of some of the kids from your school. Yeah. But talk about Haddonfield as a whole. It is a unique school. It's a small school. You got kids that play 3 sports, almost every sport. You know, a lot of athletes that double as students that double as athletes. It's a really unique school.
It is. It's a special place. It really, and you have kids that are dedicated in the classroom, and as dedicated as they are in the classroom, that's what they are in the athletic field. You know, it doesn't matter what sport it is. You know, we're just very grateful that we're the beneficiary. So, you know, from a football standpoint, of having guys that take a lot of pride in their work.
Klaus picks up 4. It'll be 2nd down and 6, under 4 to go. Handoff goes up the middle again and crossing the 40 down to the 38-yard line again. It's Klaus. Nice hard piece of running there by Klaus. Picks up 8 and another white team 1st down.
Yeah, they got great push in there. It was nice. The offensive line is playing really, really well for the white squad tonight. They're doing a nice job.
Well, earlier Coach Cormier pointed out big number 77 over there,
Isaiah
Hardy out of Timber Creek. And, I mean, I'm watching him, and he's just engulfing people. He's a beast on that left tackle.
Yeah, it's clear why, you know, Timber Creek is successful. You look at their cue right here, number 3,
Trotman
throwing the ball, and 77. They're just 2 of many talented kids. But he's a special player. He's what, 340? You know, he's probably one of the nicest kids, too, to be around. He's a class kid, so it's one of those – good things, and hopefully, you know, he'll land in it. I'm not exactly certain where he's going to college, but he's going to be a really good football player.
Trotman's pass incomplete, intended on the far side for Sink Hill. Went over his head. It'll be 2nd down and 10, 2 minutes and 53 seconds and counting. Some part of the new rules we talked about with Coach Cormier in the first half of the game. A running clock here, 42-0 is a score. Handoff again
hole.
Goes to Jake Klaus. He goes right up the gut, bouncing off the tackle, and he's going to get inside the 5. Coach wanted that one.
Jake, come on, buddy.
Big run, though. About 35 yards on the run for Klaus there.
But, Coach, that's what you saw all season out of him, though, right?
Yeah, you know what? Again, selfless kids, because we had him, and we had Mike DeFeo, Marky Walker, and then Albert. We just had a bunch of guys, but we did see that. Very patient runner. Down, you know, and he knows when to pick his spots to get downhill.
1st and goal. Klaus going to get the call again, and he gets into the end zone for a 2-yard score. There you go, Coach. Puts him up 48-0 with 2:05 remaining here in the third.
It's great for Jake. What a great kid, great family. The whole Klaus family, I'm glad there's still some Klauses left. We got a sophomore in our program and a freshman, and then there's one even in third grade. They're all cousins, but it's still okay. It's all good. The more Klauses you have, the better you are. This is one of these games, you know. I know it looks really lopsided, but early in the first quarter here, the blue had some momentum.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, they had some miscues, they had some fumbles, then the block punt, and this thing just spiraled out of control quickly.
Minshew, extra point, his 7th, so he has 7 points on the night. Hope you have him on your fantasy roster.
Yeah, right.
He's going to Wagner. He's gonna be a nice kicker up there for in Long Island.
Yeah,
home of Rich
the Seahawks.
Kotite.
Yeah, the Wagner Seahawks. They used to. I tell you what, they used to play Rowan frequently back in the day when I went to school here. When I was at school here, I think we had them. We were 1 year homecoming. We did the game. You know, of course, 89.7 WGLS. I'll throw the old radio station a plug here from Rowan University. But yeah, I mean, we used to do the games here. I remember Wagner coming. I'm like, whoa, what's this? The Seahawks? Where are these guys coming into town? And Rowan proceeded to smash them. You know, decisively, 42-0 or something like that. It was pretty fun. Pretty fun ball games down here at Rowan with Coach John Bunning back in the day, and then KC Keeler taking over.
Hey, Coach, you're coming into an off season where you're graduating a lot. What do you expect for next season? Are you guys just reloading here and getting ready for another tough schedule?
I know Colonial Conference guy trying to get the early scouting report.
I'm trying to get the scouting report.
We took a great picture and I think we tweeted it out on SJ All Star Game. You know, we with all the Colonial Conference guys. I think there's what 8 of them in the game, and it was really neat, the pride in the conference,
sure.
Especially the kids that were playing in the game. And that's what we try to keep focus on, especially tonight. You know, we got kids, guys that are, you know, getting their last chance to play high school football. But as for Hanifield, you know, we're excited. We have, again, great kids. We're just going to work hard. We don't make any predictions. The only thing we make predictions of is we're going to work hard. We're going to compete, and that's it. You know, we're very excited about what we have coming back. You know, we had some good younger kids and mix it in with some experienced linemen.
Minshew kicks off, taken at the 3-yard line by Blue Squad's. It looks like number
three.
That's number three. Yeah, that's Capadonna Miller from Bridgeton.
And that's Roy Hansen. That's Roy Hansen from Eustis. Nice play. They're close to breaking a couple of those early in the game.
Yeah, Perot almost broke a couple from Shawnee. Almost had a couple of runs, and he's a dangerous return man as it is.
They're setting up a nice sideline return, you know, trying to, you know, bait everybody to the middle of the field here and put a little right return on or bench return.
Hey,
they're
Coach.
Close.
Coach, going back to the touchdown from your kid Klaus, you know, he makes that long run before that. Is that like the thing to do when you're a coach? You know, the guy, you reward a guy who makes a big play like that.
In this
game, obviously, but no, I mean, is that how the thinking is even during a regular game?
There's another Colonial Conference kid, Jordan Wallace, for the pick. There you go. Good for the Cows. But you know what it is. You kind of want to reward those guys. And you know, you look back on the '85 Super Bowl. You got William Perry with a touchdown, and Walter Payton. It doesn't.
Right.
There's something wrong with that picture. But anyway, you do, and especially in a game like this, you want as many touches. But actually, if you look at us over the years, we never had that guy that's got 1,000, 1,200, 1,400, 1,500, 1,600 yard backs. We distribute the ball. You know, again, that's being selfless, and our kids, they don't care. As long as hopefully Hatfield's got more points, you know, life is good, and that's all they care about. You know, so, yeah, but you like to reward those kids, especially in an environment like this.
First and 10 after the turnover on their first play from scrimmage.
Interception by Jordan Wallace of Collingswood, as the coach mentioned here, another Colonial Conference guy making a play.
Option play over to, it's Trone Williams off the far side, gets across the 50-yard line, pushed out of bounds. Check that. That's Aaron Swan from Pensauken, who scored the game's opening touchdown. We actually had him up here at halftime.
Yeah,
same play. It was the same play that they scored out on, a little option to the weak side there, going away from they're actually the roll down safety here to cover three to the defending the trip side, and it's no flat defender up there. It's a good deal.
I love getting all this football insight in July, on July 1st. This is awesome.
Listen, you told me we were coming up. We had to do some homework. We had to.
That's
now, unfortunately, we have to take like a 2-month break before we start getting back into it again. Well, not
you
as much.
Do.
We do. You're going to start up in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, we did start out some summer workouts, as everybody did, lifting and, you know, some night practices. Everyone probably has a 7-on-7 under their belt now, and, you know, there's no – official, hey, Haddonfield 7-on-7s and things like that. But you're getting your work in, you know, trying to get timing down. And I know a lot of people put a lot of stock in these summer 7-on-7 things, but it's not real. There's
Coach,
nothing real about it.
How tough is it to keep these kids motivated after playing and practicing for like 2+ months, and you're just hitting each other, and then finally, how do you keep them motivated? But instead of hitting the same guys, your teammates over and over and over again, how do you keep them motivated over the course of 2.5 months?
I think you need to have the right balance, because again, we'll meet with them. We lift Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 8 to say 10:30. know, maybe 11 o'clock. Then we only practice Monday and Tuesday nights. You know, so we, you know, I talk from like 6 to 7.30, so we're an hour and a half. So we technically, yeah, we meet with them five times. But by 11.30 on Wednesday, these kids can go back, play other sports, go down to Shore, do their thing. And you, clearly you just want them to continue. You know, it's a necessary evil, the summertime is. And you got to lift and you got to get bigger, faster.
I give them a chance to recharge as well.
You do.
Pass complete from Williams over and out in the far side. Pass complete across the 40 down to the 36-yard line as Jameer Washington from Camden, the 6'2 receiver.
I believe that's the kid from Eastern, Sink Hill. It's 85, right? He runs really good rounds, catches the ball with his hands. He does a real nice job, and he had to run the 79-yard hitch and go earlier in the game.
Gain of about 6.5 yards, be second down and 4. They go from the shotgun again with Aaron Swan now shifting over to the left of Trotman. Handoff. Come near side to Jameer Washington. He's going to cut it back to the far side across the 30, across the 20 now, and across the 25, and he's going to be down right about that spot. Pickup of about 17.
A little improv there, right? Point of attack was stymied. Reverse his direction. Not very athletic kid, right? That's Jameer, right? Camden.
Talk about that team a little bit, Coach. I know you guys annually seem to see them somewhere along the way in the playoffs.
In some sport in our school, yeah, you're right. No, they're extremely talented. Heck, you got 7-8 kids that have, you know, 20 and 30 offers. No, that doesn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. You know, that's clearly, it means you have some very talented kids. And Coach Savage has done a really nice job with that program, and you got – you know, Johnson, you got Hawkins, when we played them, Chandler and Stevens, he was a man-child inside,
right.
Who ended up, but he's a state champion in wrestling.
And he's up at Maine now.
Maine, yeah, doing very well from what we gathered around to some of their coaches this offseason at Temple football camps and, you know, Matt Rule's camps, and, you know, they were singing his praises.
Timeout for the blue team out there right now with 10:34 left to go in the ballgame here in the fourth quarter. White leading 49-0 here in the 25th annual South Jersey Football All-Star Game. The Adam Talaferro Foundation brings it to you. And again, 49-0 the score. But we're joined here in the booth by Haddonfield head coach Frank Delano. I'm Mike Shute along with Rob Strauss bringing you all the action. We thank Rob and Sterling High School Radio for helping us out and bring this game to life, I guess, for all the listeners out there, football fans across South Jersey who couldn't make it out tonight. But you can visit the Adam Talaferro Foundation online. Look them up on the web. You can make donations to the organization as well as volunteer your time if you wish to do so. They're always looking for volunteers.
Pass out in the flat intended for Aaron Swan, just out of his reach. Incomplete. That's going to bring up second down and 10.
Coach, I asked Coach Cormier earlier about the Talaferro Foundation and this game and why he's involved in it. For you, what makes this special? Why have you been so dedicated to this cause?
You know, I played in the game in 94 when it was the Rotary Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it was a really unique playing experience for me personally. And I think, honestly, it's part of our responsibility to the game is to give back. And it does it. There's some time that goes into it. There's no doubt the planning of this game starts in January. But you look and you give kids around South Jersey, you got 80 kids here tonight. When they hung their helmet up on Thanksgiving, they thought they were done. You know, never had a chance to represent their schools, their families, their communities again. Then you combine it with a phenomenal cause like the Adam Talaferro Foundation itself. I just think it makes for, you know, it's a slam dunk, and it should be part of hopefully what all coaches like to do a little bit.
Williams pass complete to Parham for the first down. It'll be first down and 10 from the 14-yard line. Running play now off the right side and down to the 10-yard line. Gave about 3 yards on the play as we approach the 9-minute mark of a 49-0 game. Not quite the game that I don't think any of us really expected, especially after the first couple series by both these teams. Either way, it's going to be second down and 6.
Now, again, it just spiraled out of control. And it's one of those things, you sit on the side, you're like, there's nothing we could do to put our finger over this and stop it, you know, stop the water from coming out. You know, it's crazy how 3 or 4 plays can change the complexion of a game.
Williams from the shotgun has Swan to his left. Williams going to keep it himself, go off the left side, makes a move that he cuts to the inside. Does he get in?
looks like he's down there, he's at the one.
There, he's down at the one. I thought he may have extended the ball over the goal line. They're going to say he's down at about the half-yard line, but a nice run there by Khalil Williams.
Really, really did try and stretch it out, but the knee was down well in advance of that stretch, so that's why the officials marked him down. But it'll be first and goal here, down inside the one for the White, looking to add to this 49-0 lead.
He did a real nice job setting up that strong safety, making him take his feet on the sidelines.
He's going to feed himself again and trying to keep it himself, and he's stacked up at the goal line and pushed backwards. Stop there, among others. Brennan Ryan from Delran.
There's your going back to your try to reward a guy. Yep. There you go. Khalil, he's although very talented, he's not a big dude trying to get it up in that A gap in there and pound it in.
I think Angel White from Pemberton too, number 46, was in on that tackle. The D end, 6'3", 185.
Williams going to call his own number again, and this time he gets in a 1 yard touchdown scamper with 7:32 left to go, extends the lead for the White squad. But Khalil Williams really kind of made that improvisation there on that quarterback keeper off the left side to gain the ball down to about the half-yard line. But it's 55-0 here with 7:32 left. Minshew on to attempt his 8th extra point. Not often you can say that. The kick is up. And it is good. He's 8 for 8 on the night. Some kickers would be lucky to be good 8 for 8 on the season. And Minshew is good 8 for 8 just tonight.
Yeah. He's a good kicker. He's a real quality kicker. He does some punting too, I believe. And you know, he's, as you mentioned, Coach Cormier may have mentioned earlier, you know, he's going to be going off to college. He'll have a good opportunity to continue playing. So Coach Delano with us from Haddonfield. Last time, you know, anybody saw you on this campus, you were winning a championship, I think, if I'm not mistaken. You're part of the team, so I'll say you. But you know, does it ever, you know, for you, you know, football is a grind. It's a tough game mentally, physically. You know, how do you as a coach, you know, keep yourself going, keep yourself coming back day after day? You know, practice. Football takes a lot out of people.
It's competition, and I say this at home, that you know, to my wife, my kids, I don't want to disappoint anybody. I don't want to disappoint as a husband, as a father, you know, as a son, you name it. So you know, you want to make sure that you're looking your guys in the eye and making sure that, and we're still doing, not leaving any stone unturned. You always got to stay ahead of yourself. You always kind of want to consistently grind it out and making sure that, you know, hey, you're prepared. And the last thing you want to do is look our guys in the eyes and say, you know what, we let you down. You know, and that's, you know, and when you're winning or even when you're building, it's just that excitement of what could be at the end of the road. You know, for us, we've been blessed to have 3 of them at the end of the road work out for us. But again, it's just that ultimate, that intense desire to succeed that I'm blessed with, because I got great coaches around us that stay hungry as well.
Minshew kicks that one into the end zone. It'll be a touchback. Blue will take over first and 10 at its own 20-yard line here, 7:13 and counting left to go here in the ball game, here at the Adam Taliaferro South Jersey Football Classic.
Got a chance to talk to Adam earlier at halftime, and Coach, I don't know how much you've dealt with Adam over the years. He's really quite the inspiration.
He is unbelievable. You know, and you just watch the growth in Adam as well, you know, and the way when he took, you know, this foundation was named after him. He was a young kid, you know, and he had no idea, you know. Now all of a sudden the responsibility and the man that he's become, he's definitely an inspiration to everybody who has the pleasure and the privilege like we do to meet with him and talk to him and deal with the kids, you know, not just Adam, but, and now he's a father, and, you know, everything that he's doing, you know, it's kind of neat. Then when you're around this thing so long, you become friends with people, you develop relationships, and then you talk about, you know, his mother and his father, they don't come better, you know, so you know, we're lucky to be around him. And he's clearly inspirational to everybody, you know, that glimmer of hope, you know, when you have that hope and that ability to, the chance maybe, you know, to survive and walk again, and then you look at him, you know, and watch him, it's really, really special. And then you watch the people that were honored before the game, you know, and their stories. You know, again, you circle back to why are you involved with this. It's for moments like that, and you get a chance to know you're being a part of something bigger than all of us and just being part of a great cause.
Simmons from the shotgun now is split wide receivers and his backs. Going to wisely hand it off That's Stephon Bowman from Bridgeton off the right side across the 30-yard line, pushed out of bounds right around that spot. And it's going to be close to a first down. And there you are, going to move the chains. It's going to be a first down for Blue Squad. Still looking to get on the board here. Now a timeout on the field.
Looks like Bob Elia from Cumberland, one of the offensive linemen, working hard tonight. Down with a little bit of an injury there. He took a knee. Looks like it may be cramping up in the calf. He's rubbing his left calf, so he's going to take a knee, and they're going to grab somebody to replace him. Looks like 75 is going to go in there. James Chatton from Holy Cross is going to go in and replace him, but he'll come off.
Probably see a lot of that, Coach, since it's been so hot over these last few days.
Yeah, you know, it's just cramping. You're right. You know, and then in the first half being 15 minutes,
yeah.
You know, you just use that at 6 minutes on your game.
And, right.
You know, even though you're playing one way, yeah, it does. It takes a toll on you a little bit. You just, again, for this young man, you just hope it's not a serious deal, and it is just cramping. You know, again, you're talking the kid from Holy Cross. You know, Brendan Simmons, the Q at Holy Cross, he's as good as they come,
yeah.
Too. You know, unfortunately, he's been under a lot of duress tonight, a lot of pressure. You know, Brendan's a kid that Coach Shivo and I, through our DNS camps that we work, you know, do in the spring, we've had him for the last 3 years. You know, he's a really good football player with a big arm, and I think he's going to Shippensburg, you know, to play, and he's going to be a nice kid to follow his college career as well.
Bob Elia from Cumberland, the offensive lineman, going to hobble off to the sideline, get some attention to his left calf as we approach the 5-minute mark here of the fourth quarter. 56-0 White Squad. Simmons from the shotgun. Going to pass it out into the flat, completing at the 28-yard line.
That's Mulvihill.
Yep, Mulvihill.
Seneca.
6'3", 180-pound wide receiver on the completion. Gain of about 8. That'll be second down and 2 with 4:30 left to go in the fourth.
You just hope that the injury to 61 isn't bad. He's going to Lycoming and playing.
Stretching it out there. It
looks, yeah, he looks like he's good, but yeah, he's a college bound athlete going to Lycoming.
Quickly on the ball now is Simmons from Holy Cross. It's a man in motion, then getting the call again is going to be number 2, Marquise Karstarfin from Palmyra.
I know you've been talking a lot about the white offense, but this D has been phenomenal too. You know, Sterling Sheffield, the kid from Clearview, he's been all over the field and been tough to block. Thompson from Sterling has been pretty dominant in the inside. You can pump. You give me a little fist pump there.
Great kid too.
We were going to go to graduation and make sure that kid walked across the stage. He is really good. I'm still thinking. You know, we're still trying to block him.
You know what? On top of it, I've had him in class. He's a nice kid. On top of it,
I want to talk about your other kid, Tony, who's going to King.
Tony,
that's
yes,
where right. I went. Yep. So you know, it's a good night for Sterling.
Capadonna Miller from Bridgeton. Nice run on the. Coming to the near side, pushed out of bounds. It's a first down. It's pushed out of bounds by Jarius Ransom from Williamstown, right around the corner.
The Blues had a nice running game tonight, Frank. I mean, there's no question about that. I'm surprised. You know, you still see that 0 on next under their name because I mean they've run the ball very, very well.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. You know, they're clearly trying to get the perimeter with their jet sweep series, and you know you're right. It was a couple bobbled snaps. It was the fumble. You know, they were driving there. This is, you know, they were inside probably to 30 early in the game.
Number 61, that's Bob Elia from Cumberland, the offensive lineman who was injured earlier, taking some sprints on the sideline, so he's okay, hopefully. Brandon Simmons back to live action, being scrambled around, trying to make something out of nothing. He's going to keep it himself. He's got some blockers across the 30, across the 25, across the 20, cuts back inside, and is tackled. Right at that spot by number 32, Mike Coyle from Audubon. But a nice gain there for the Blue Squad as we approach the 2.25-minute mark, trying to get on the board here.
He picked up about 26 that way after he ran, you know, 26 backwards, a 52-yard run out of him, but 26 in the positive. Simmons, though, showing the athletic ability.
Yeah, we just talked about him a couple minutes ago. Again, he's very athletic. The upside for him, Ship's getting a great quarterback. They really are. He's a great kid, too. I have a chance to talk with him. He's just a... It's a phenomenal young man.
Simmons, and operate again from the shotgun. I don't think we've seen anybody under center tonight at all. Giving the quarterbacks a little bit more time to work here. Calls for the ball, gets it. Going to look end zone to the near side. He's got a man open, and it's incomplete. Penalty marker thrown. Capadonna Miller was dragged down in the end zone, so that's going to be a penalty against the White squad.
One of the rare flags we see tonight, but 34 for the White is going to get whistled for the for pulling him down. That's Khalil Petty out of Lindenwald, Colonial Conference guy.
Hey, we'll take credit for the good and the penalties, too. That's all right. That's great for Khalil. You know, he's had a nice week and had a pretty solid game.
Now, Coach, talk about your role in this. You're the general manager for the White squad. What's your role with the teams, and how does that, you know, all play out?
Myself and with our committee, we have to pick, you know, clearly pick the team.
Right.
And then we got to try to get 41 schools, kids here, and make sure all paperwork is in. And, you know, and unfortunately, some colleges don't allow kids to play, or they have to report early. So, you know, it's a lot of that. It's just a lot of, you know, trying to get coaches to make sure they fill out their nomination forms, give us 2, 3, 4 guys, and then we try to fill the team with 41 really good football players.
Simmons from the shotgun, looking end zone and incomplete, intended for number 86, Mike Mulvihill from Seneca, the 6'3 receiver. I don't think if he was 7'3, he would have got his hands on that. As we approach the 70 seconds left to go here, and Blue trying to put one in here, and trying to salvage avoid the shutout.
So is that the biggest challenge, though, Frank? I mean, trying to juggle the kids?
You're dealing with 41 schools. Sometimes it's hard enough to get paperwork from kids in your own building. You know, sometimes it's, you do a lot of, hey, crazy meets, and we're going to meet in the parking lot at Home Depot and get you your stuff. And honestly,
Simmons
boy.
Being rushed, and he is sacked in the backfield. That's number 83.
I think that's Kassavage.
That's 63.
From Winslow.
Yeah.
From Winslow. 38.8 remaining. Timeout on the field by the Blue squad, but he was tackled at the 22-yard line, so it's a significant loss on the play. It's going to be a third down and goal from the 22.
That was also a big thing in the first half, third down situations.
Yep.
You know, it was the White, I believe, was 2 of 4. They were only in it 4 times, but the Blue was 2 of 10, 2 of 11, something to that effect.
Coach bringing the stats to the table.
He's got his notebook here. He's ready to go.
Impressive.
We just wish the game was a little bit longer than 38 more seconds. No, I'm just kidding.
Third down and goal from the
22.
Well,
they heard you were coming on the second half, so they shortened the clock.
Yeah, you've been around me once or twice, huh?
Simmons, they're going to hand it off to number 7, and they're going to try the halfback option pass. It's Lafragola. Pass incomplete.
Stop. Come on, guys.
And now, again, some more pushing and shoving, and you don't need to see this in an all-star game. Penalty markers are going to fly here. We saw this earlier in the game, and you don't need to see this in an all-star game, guys, and 21.4 showing on the clock. Obviously, a one-sided battle here, and I think the Blue squad just letting their frustrations being shown. Number 75, James Chatton from Holy Cross, gonna have a seat, and they're just gonna let the clock run out on this one. And it's gonna be a 56-0 final score. The White squad celebrating on the far sideline, but they're gonna line it up at the 50 and shake hands either way. They spent a good 3 or 4 days together, Coach. But nobody likes to get shut out. Doesn't matter if you're playing tiddlywinks or if you're playing football.
No, you say it all. You know, you are keeping score. And grant you tomorrow, pretty much everybody but the 41 kids on, you know, kind of remember, you know, forget about this thing. But you want to, hopefully for the sake of competition, you know, and the sportsmanship of the game, that you don't like to see this. It's, you know, the Coach Kassavage down there is trying to maintain some order, and Coach Geisel and, you know, it's an unfortunate way for
Coach Geisel's a guy you don't want to mess with. He's a big guy.
No, he's also a wrestling coach.
He's
too,
all
right?
Business.
He is.
There's some really big coaches out there. They're bigger than me, and I'm 5'9", which isn't saying much.
No, that's
but
true.
Coaches are meeting at midfield here, doing some handshakes, and I do believe we have some trophy presentation or some player of the game. It looks like they're setting up for that, and now they're exchanging handshakes. And they thought they were going to line up at the 50 for some the handshake line.
They're
in,
good.
And now they're
good. They just
exactly.
had to calm down for a
I
second.
I think the coach has wanted to keep things cool. But, yeah. you know, the guy who was kind of in the middle of that, who got popped, was C.J. LaFragola. And he was at the bottom of the pile of that when the whole skirmish happened. He was the first guy from the blue squad to come over and start shaking hands with the guys from the white squad. So that tells you that some of these kids, you know, they know what this is about. And that's, you know, that's what has prevailed here on the field. So that's a good thing.
I'm not sure what's going on. We're up here. And you're right. And you know what? Chris, right, is going to Brown to wrestle. It's,
right.
You know, everyone should disrespect it. You know, there's a lot of talent in this game.
Yeah.
You know, and again, this game's bigger than all of us. We didn't invent it. We just hope to make it a little bit better than when we found it.
So, Coach, you know, you played in this game, not this game, but the early incarnation of this game. What are these kids now? You know, they're all walking off the field. Granted, they were shut out, but still, this is a memory that's. I'm sure it's still stuck with you, and it's going to stick with these guys.
It is, and you know what? You still see some guys who you played with in that game, and our game was cut short. We had a rotary half.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. We got lightning, and we were down 7-0, and it was. We're not bitter. You know, I think we're over it now. How many years later? But no, you're right. But you make some really neat friendships. My roommate was still John Erasmus from Williamstown. I could tell you who it was. You know, but it's the bonds. You read about guys in the paper. You respect each other's talents, and then all of a sudden you're teammates for a night, you know, and you're like, this is pretty neat. You're trading decals and you're wearing other people's colors, so to speak, along with representing your, you know, yourself, your families, your schools, your communities, you know, and you put together the big piece. You know, again, we're just grateful to be a part of this, and I know it's a very, you know, as coaches that are volunteering our time, you know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes with it and a lot of guys that do a lot of stuff here to put things together. You know, the guys who were in charge of the equipment and the icing down power aids throughout the week and different things. And so, and more importantly, there's some selfless families at home, too. Our own families, our personal families. You know, my family's down the shore waiting for me to come back. You know, they're on vacation. You know, or maybe they're having too good of a time and they want me to stay here. But no, there's lifelong friendships that are made from this game as well as this particular event. But now you can't even compare. You know, the two at the time, they're not being disrespectful to the Rotary Bowl, the Flame Bowl, the Epilepsy Foundation. What is going on this week with Champion now sponsoring the game, you know, and everything that is going on with the foundation. This thing's like a bowl game now, you know, and it's just continuing to get bigger and better. You know, the uniforms and the stuff that the kids were given to be a part of this game. You know, it's all about, I guess, the swag now, right?
Yeah, it's like they're going to the Oscars. They get, like, this bag of swag.
I don't think the three of us know anything about that. But, you know, it's, you know, they put the compression shirts that they got. They got their wristbands. They get to keep the game jerseys, that, you know, the pants they got to return. And, you know, regardless. But, you know, they get a lot of stuff. They're taken care of during the week. I know the PA dress announcer was talking about all the sponsors and the hoagies at night, the pizza at night, you know, water ice and the pretzels that – just trying to make this a first-class event for them and making sure it's a positive experience for both squads and regardless of outcome. You know, hopefully they can walk away and say, you know what, it was a great week. Where, you know, we say it's a week, it's 3 days.
Right.
You know, they
it got seems here, like a week, though,
they
right?
Got, yeah, sometimes it seems longer when it's 95 in the dorm and there's no air. But, you know, again, they reported Sunday and they had to play a game, a four-quarter real game on 3 nights later. You know, and you squeeze some practice in, so credit to both staffs, Coach Adams, you know, from Woodstown, what he has done with that program. He's turned that program over around immense. You know, we talked about it last night, actually, at the banquet, when Coach Ellen got inducted to the Hall of Fame. You know, we were sitting there, and I was introducing John and talking about the environment at a Woodstown football game now. You know, we were at the Bridgeton game 2 years ago, scouting. You know, we were playing Camden the next day, and you're just watching everything happen. You know, the whole town was there. It was almost like a throwback deal. Hey, there was a game in town, and everyone was going to be there.
It's like a Hoosiers.
It was, and then it was a 13-7 final. Like, it was an awesome finish, and you know, these kids were treated like, you know, they were all Americans, and it was a Hoosier deal. And so again, credit to Coach Adams and his staff, you know, at Woodstown. But you know, he has one guy, I believe, on his staff this week from Woodstown, and you know, and then Coach Russo at Vineland did a real nice job with his entire staff was here. For a couple days.
And Coach, when, you know, obviously we didn't get a chance to ask you this during the game, but when the game is going on, you've been on the general manager role, you've been a coach on the field before with this game. How do you balance, you know, the players, the quarterbacks, you know, Coach Cormier was saying, hey, some coaches will say every other series, some will say every quarter, you know, how do you make that judgment?
I know, and I think that key issue, man. You're picking character kids, you know, that realize that there's like 70 other kids that were on the list right now that don't have this opportunity
right.
to put this uniform on, to play in this great stadium, you know, to have this night. You know, so you're hoping that you're surrounded with selfless kids that aren't me guys and worry about I need touches.
Mm.
But you are. In the back of your mind, you're like, okay, I need to get these running backs 4 touches. I got to get these receivers 3 touches. These quarterbacks got to throw a little bit. You know, so it is. Sometimes it's really challenging to make sure everybody's getting in, you know, and getting touches. Defensively, you're usually too deep at each spot, so that's not going to be a major factor. Kids, in fact, in the college length games are tapping out, right? You know, they're tired. They're sucking wind, you know. But no, so you know, you do have to be very aware of that. We encourage, from the GM standpoint, to make sure all the guys get in early. You make sure they get in. They're getting equal playing time, and that's on the coaches to make sure everybody is getting it done.
So there you have it. There you have it. The final score. 56-0, the white team wins here in the 25th All-Star Classic, the Adam Talaferro Foundation All-Star Football Classic, coming to you from Rowan University, Richard Wacker Stadium here on the campus of Rowan University. Rob Strauss, any final thoughts, any final questions for the coach here? I know you got the Colonial Conference rivalry thing. If anything else you need to scout him on or pick his brain
so
you can tell you're a new coach.
It's always a great rivalry. I know that our kids get up for it. I'm sure you guys do as well. We played you guys tough last year. I'm looking forward to another one this year. It's a great time to cover that rivalry. Whether it's football, it could be basketball. It doesn't matter what it is. It always seems that both teams come to play, regardless of record, regardless of scenario. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic.
No, it's exciting. You know, we don't need to defend the Colonial Conference, but it's pretty good football week
in
and week out.
Yep.
You know, I know everyone has their opinions, and everyone's entitled to it. But you sit there and you look at the teams that are in our conference, you know, and how many teams can make the playoffs, how many advance in the playoffs. You know, Paulsboro won it last year. We were fortunate enough to win it, you know, the last couple of years as well. At the end of the day, you know, you'll watch Camden, Collingswood beat Camden. You get all these, you know, Colonial Conference schools that traditionally do well. And even if we're not, you know, in those consolation games, we usually do okay,
yep.
You know. So, again, each week is, you don't worry about what week 3, 4, or 5 is. You know, we just take each week, you know, as it's the final and prepare and, you know, give it our best shot and hopefully good things happen.
I think you guys come to Sterling this year, I believe.
Yeah, I believe
yep.
It's early in the season.
Yeah,
week 2, I want to say.
Yeah, week 2 or 3.
It's early and, you know, you guys have a new look, new coach, and who knows? We had a lot of homework to do.
Yeah.
We had a lot of homework to do.
So do I. So do I.
Isn't that why it's so exciting right now? It's July 1st. Everyone has the same goals, same objectives, and our records are all,
yep.
We're all undefeated, and we're all hoping for the same thing. You know, to be hopefully get an opportunity to compete for a conference title and get the pleasure and get the privilege to play for a championship
yep.
at the end of the season.
Coach Frank Delano from Haddonfield, we want to thank you for joining us for the second half of this one. We want to thank Coach Rob Cormier from Bishop Eustis for joining us in the first half. We want to thank all of our guests, Adam Talaferro, Tom Icovone from the Talaferro Foundation. We want to thank the players who came up at halftime from Kingsway Maxwell and from Pensauken Swan. Those two guys stopped up at halftime to talk to us. We also had Sam Carcitti from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We had Dave Ellen from Bridgeton, the two newly minted South Jersey Football Coach Association Hall of Famers. They stopped by to talk to us as well. So we want to thank all those for their participation. We want to thank Rob Strauss and Sterling High School Radio for allowing South Jersey Sports Digest to get this game on the air for the folks who couldn't be here tonight and for those who I guess, Rob, we're going to archive this and be able to listen back
yeah.
to it.
Yep.
So anybody will be able to listen back to this. So, Coach, you can go home and tomorrow, you know, when you're at the shore,
yep.
get your podcast, listen to it on the beach
there. Critique it.
Exactly.
Break it down.
So,
break it down.
Again, we want to thank Rob for that. And everybody at South Jersey Sports Digest appreciates what you've done for us, Rob.
And look, again, talk about the labor of love. There's Coach Accorsi on the 50-yard line with pylon in one hand, goal line. Again, it's a labor of love. So it's everybody's helping out.
Either he's helping out or he's lost. I'm not sure which.
Listen, I got full confidence in Coach Accorsi. He knows what he's doing. No. But again, it's on. Thanks for doing this, Scott. I think it's wonderful for the game itself on behalf of the coaches as well as the foundation. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing you're able to do this for us.
You got it, Coach. We're glad to be here, and we thank you for your time as well. And on behalf of everybody at South Jersey Sports Digest, again, we want to thank Rob Strauss and Sterling High School Radio for his help in getting us this on the air, or on the web, we should say, today. And again, it'll be archived as well, so you can check back with it and listen to it anytime. Thanks, Rob. Robin, if you want to wrap it up, feel free.
Yeah, that'll do it for everybody here at from Richard Wacker Stadium here on the campus of our alma mater,
Thanks,
Rowan
right.
University, like that. That's going to do it for the 25th annual Adam Talaferro All-Star Game. Final score 56-0. This is going to be archived on the Sterling High School website. We will tweet out the link to that so that you guys can take a listen back and listen to some of the interviews, some of the highlights and everything. There were plenty if you were white today. Mm-hmm. Not so much on the blue side, but either way, both teams come away winners on this one. 56-0 is your final, and we'll catch up with you next time. Make sure you follow at Knights Radio on Twitter, also South Jersey Sports Digest.
At SJ Sports Digest on Twitter. We'll have some great content coming your way this summer as well, as we've got some things up our sleeve. I can't even tell you, Coach, yet what's going on, but we've got some good stuff coming your way, some nice video projects that are going to be coming out beginning, hopefully, I believe, right after the Independence Day weekend. We've got some good new stuff coming out for you. Plus, we've got the Crispin brothers, Joe and John Crispin, the Pittman greats, basketball. They're writing a column for us each week. Their newest column is up on our site now. It's called The Last Word. If you haven't seen it yet, please check it out. There's a whole page dedicated to their columns. They've already done, this is their third one, so they've got some good stuff talking about. Right now, they're kind of hot on the topic of youth sports and you know, parent involvement and things like that. So they've got some good stuff going on, some good insights from those two guys. So lots of other good stuff coming your way as well on our website. Of course, great coverage from tonight's game. You're going to have a tremendous photo gallery. We're going to have stories off of tonight's game probably for the next couple of days. So look for that as well.
All right, that's going to do it. 56-0 is your final here for Rob Strauss, Coach Delano, and Mike Shute. Have a great night.